Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Friends with Money podcast. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine, and it's great to be back on the mic with you once again. Today, we're delving into the subject of rent vesting. And to do that, I'm pleased to say that we're joined by a man who knows a thing or two about property, author, buyer's agent, and founder of Oz Property Professionals, Lloyd Edge. Lloyd, thanks for popping the headphones on and jumping on board today.
G'day, Tom. Great to be with you. Looking forward to having a chat.
Indeedy. Well, before we dive into rent vesting specifically, I was hoping you could set the scene for us a bit by telling us whether or not you think the recent RBA rate hikes have changed the equation at all for first home buyers looking to get into the market.
Yeah, look, I think they definitely have to some extent, because each time there's a rate rise, it does actually affect your serviceability. So more rate increases, the lower the amount that you can actually borrow. So that does actually mean that potentially some properties that people are looking to get into, they may not be able to afford at this stage. That, and then of course, we then will discuss the fact that then some people are now choosing to rent and then rent invest as opposed to getting into their own home. So yeah, it has had some impact there for home buyers, not necessarily for investors though.
Okay, so let's get into the topic itself then. Can you explain to us, for anyone that doesn't know out there, what rent vesting actually is, and I guess why someone, you know, who's looking to buy their first property would want to invest rather than buy a home to live in?
Okay, so rent vesting essentially is where you are renting a property and then you're also a property investor. So you're doing two things there. Now, when you're living in a property, you might want to live close to the beach. You might live near the city because you need to work there, near the city and those sort of things, but it's very expensive to buy a property there. So essentially, for a lot of people, they may not be able to afford to own a property in those sort of locations they want to live in or that they need to live in. So they choose to rent in those locations and then buy an investment property in a different location that makes sense to invest in based on all the fundamentals that make up a good investment property, but it's also cheaper to get onto the property investment ladder because you're buying a cheaper property than would be if you're buying your own home, essentially.
Right. Okay. That's quite straightforward then. So I guess I'm wondering, is it kind of predominantly for younger people then, or, you know, the other Australians also get in on the rent investing idea?
I think it really can apply to everybody, but it does apply to a lot to younger people who are trying to get into the market, because particularly if you're looking at some of the major cities, Sydney and Melbourne particularly, expensive property prices, you know, you need to have quite a large deposit saved, and it's hard to save a large deposit when you're a young person just getting into the workforce. So, so actually rent vesting and actually building up a bit of a nest egg of maybe a couple of rental properties and then buying that home a little bit later on is what people do. However, there are a lot of people who, you know, rent vest, you know, well later in their lives, and they build up a nest egg of rental properties for their retirement and, you know, for their kids' inheritance and everything like that, and choose not to own their own home, maybe because it's expensive, maybe because they don't want that liability, all sorts of things. So it can apply to anyone, but predominantly for most people, it's simply because, you know, homes are very expensive to buy in a lot of locations. That great Australian dream of buying your own home is getting a little bit harder in some locations, so people are choosing to rent vest. So you're still getting onto the property ladder, but just in a different way.
Okay, so let's say that I'm a first home buyer and I really love the sound of rent vesting. What should I actually be looking for in an investment property? Like I'm thinking about whether it should be a house or unit, or maybe even where I should, you know, be looking to buy in terms of a location.
Yeah, so I think the most important thing with location is really pinpointing a few things in terms of infrastructure that's in the area, what the government is spending money on. So examples of that might be, say, in Sydney, the Western Sydney Airport that's going in there. So that's creating some growth in years to come and some jobs growth. Obviously, in Brisbane, we've got the Olympics coming. So looking at those sort of infrastructure that's going in there. But, you know, you can buy into a lot of regional markets where there's a lot of that kind of stuff going in. Following the trends of population growth and jobs growth, and then what sort of areas have good hospitals, good schools, private schools, universities, those are sort of things, and particularly lots of different growth drivers. So you don't want to buy just one an area that just has one industry, but several industries of growth essentially that support the area. One of the other important things with investing property is having good cash flow. So people often look for yield as well. So good yields, and you get good yields outside of those major capital cities. So outside of Sydney and Melbourne, you get some better yields. So there's sort of things that you need to look for as an investment property. And the purchase price points are, a lot cheaper than if you're buying in a capital city as well.
What is a yield, Lloyd? That's something I've always wondered, and maybe some of our listeners might not know that as well.
Yeah, a yield is basically a percentage of the rental return on the property. So basically, just to put it in simple terms, if you have a property that has cost you $500,000 and you are getting $500 a week rent on the property, that's a 5.2% yield, which essentially is considered to be neutrally geared. By the time you've paid things like rates and other expenses on the property, might be a little bit negative. So for those investors who are looking for something that has positive cash flow, we tend to look for something of around 5.5% to 6% yield, those sort of things. In capital cities, like particularly Sydney and Melbourne, where the cash flow is a lot more negative, you can get properties that are only between 2% or 3% yield. So, and what that basically means is you can buy a property for, $1.5 million, but it's only going to bring in $800 a week. So you spend you're a lot of money out of pocket. So what you want to do as an investor is try to minimize the amount of money you're out of pocket each week, which is why I wrote, a book called Positively Geared, because positively geared basically means getting more money in rent than what you're actually paying for expenses each month on the property.
Ah, that's really interesting. Thank you for explaining that. We've talked a lot about the benefits so far of rent investing, and it sounds like a really kind of flexible option for people that are able to do it. But are there any downsides to it?
Well, I guess one of the things with rent investing is that you don't actually own your own home. So, a lot of people do see having your own home as a bit of security. That's a bit of a myth, though, because it's really liability more than anything. So it's a bit of an age-old myth that having your own home is actually security there. But some people do like to feel like they actually live in their own home. Mm. So rent investing means that, you might live in a beautiful location, near the beach, for example, but because you're renting the property you live in, the landlord can actually ask you to move out at the end of your lease if they want to move in or they want to sell the property and things like that. So, that's a bit of a, downside, from that perspective. But other than that, I think there's a lot of positives, because one thing that we haven't covered, obviously, with investing in property is all the tax benefits you can get that you can claim on an investment property, or the interest on the mortgage, or the outgoings, the rates and expenses on the property. When you're buying your own home, you don't actually claim any of those because you're living in the property. So, so there's a lot to be said for actually investing in a property. There's a lot of benefits to that.
One final question, and one that I'm still trying to get my head around a little bit, is whether rent investing is more about lifestyle than, say, wealth creation. Is that the case, or can it actually be a bit of both?
I actually think it can actually be both. One of the things I think is that you can actually rent best buy investment properties that will actually help you to achieve your ultimate lifestyle also. So if we unpack that a little bit, if you start rent besting, and like we've said, you can live in a location that you really want to live in, but you may not be able to afford to buy now. But as you build up an investment portfolio, you can help use those properties to leverage into buying your own dream home in that favorite location of yours later on, and that's also lifestyle. So at both points, it can help with lifestyle, and that that's something I've done. I've actually I've got my dream house now, but it's certainly something I didn't have at first. I invested for many years and built up a portfolio of investment properties to buy that home I really wanted. So I think lifestyle from both points.
Ah, so you're living proof that that you can do that. So I guess what I'm wondering with that as well is that should, you know, the first place that you buy, the first place that you buy as part of this rent vesting strategy, be part of a wider or longer term strategy then for someone that is interested in looking at it?
Absolutely, yeah. Look, I wouldn't buy any property without having a strategy in mind. So, you know, where do you want to actually be in 5, 10, 15 years? What is your goals in terms of do you want to have a dream home? Are you looking for some financial independence? Do you have kids that you want to put through private schools? Do you want to be able to pay for some holidays? Do you want to buy a boat? You know, whatever your goals are, you know, put them into perspective. And like, I never buy a property without considering the purpose of that property and how that's going to fit into my portfolio and how it's going to help me get into the next property. So I always look at how that affects my borrowing capacity, how the cash flow on it will help me move forward, and also an exit strategy on that property. So, you know, will I be holding it short to medium term or medium to long term? Because at some point you've got to pay down some debt to achieve that passive income and to get some funds together to buy that dream home. So that might mean selling some investment properties down the track as well. So, I always look at, you know, what I can do with an exit strategy on certain properties as well. So everything's got to be very strategic, I think, with investing. You don't want to just go out there and just buy an investment property because it sounds good. Yeah, you really need to think about your overall lifetime goals.
I think that's an excellent place to end on then today, Lloyd. So thank you so much for coming on and giving us such a good rundown of all things rent vesting. It's been a real pleasure having a chat.
Pleasure. Thanks so much, Tom.
Before we sign off, I'd love to ask you for a favor, dear listener. If you enjoy the Friends with Money podcast and you have a friend or family member who you think would feel the same way, then we'd love for you to share it with them. As they say, sharing is caring. Or if you are already an amazing person and you've already shared it with someone, then you can also help us out by leaving a review on iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. We'd also love to hear from you if you have any questions, comments, or even story ideas you'd like us to explore in the future. So to send something our way, make sure you use our dedicated email, which is podcast@moneymag.com.au. You can also keep up to date with all the latest news on property, investing, shares, and all things finance by heading over to moneymag.com.au. That's it for this episode of the Friends with Money podcast, but we'll be back in your feeds next week. I'm Tom Watson. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.